We are just so grateful to open up His Word in a free country. Just bless this portion in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to tell you about one area. Last year when we were in Poland, there were three or four people from China. And for those that don't know, we are in over 70 countries, and we have over 750 churches now. And the China church is all coming. It's all underground. It's heavily, heavily persecuted. Well, this year they had over 35 people in Poland. They flew from China to Poland to be at this event. Incredible, incredible. And God is moving in China. So we pray for them. And this is the whole thing of being in like a missionary type church, to be able to pray for those. And this is also why we invite you to come to Baltimore. One time you've got to make this trip. Because then you'll see what this is about. Your eyes will be really, really open to missions and how Germany. I was talking to Steve. We talked to some people out in the streets, and this wasn't just once. This is more than once. In talking to some of these people, every one of them came and told us that they have mental illness. And because of situations, because of problems, because of difficulties in their life, it's easy to say, I have this. Or because I'm addicted to something, or because I'm an addict in an area, it's easy for me to say, I've got that. Because it doesn't accept responsibility. You know, you're going to have problems in life. The Bible states that. But to blame others for that is very dangerous. And we want to teach identity, and we want to teach responsibility. Mm-hmm. Accountable to the Word of God. This is why we teach. This is why we get together and have raps and teach. And we even are considering doing some home Bible studies. And we'll talk about those in a little bit. So the convention was, and you can turn there, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, where it says, it's for God who, in verse 6, for God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. And that was the theme. God commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the face of Jesus Christ. And I love even that portion. Because it's not like the glory that shone in Moses. Because the Bible says that Moses' face shone like glory as he came down from the mountain, presenting the tablets of the Ten Commandments. But it also says that that glory faded away. But the face of Jesus Christ, that glory will never fade away. And God uses, and when you see the word light in the Bible, it is a physical light, but it also is a spiritual light. And it speaks of salvation. So it just means this, that salvation will be shown through the face of Jesus Christ. For people to be saved, they're going to have to come to Christ. They're going to have to see the face of Jesus Christ, and it will shine in glory. It will shine in glory. But it was God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. And in verse 5, right before that, it says, for we preach not ourselves. And I love that. And if you want to be a pastor or a teacher, you can't preach yourself. And many do. It's not about me. It's about Christ. And even 1 Corinthians 1:23, it says, Paul says, I preach Christ and Christ crucified. We must preach Christ. It's the only thing that is going to bring people out of darkness. Because we're living in dark times. We're living in dark surroundings. We have dark troubles and situations that are always around us. But there's a light that can shine through that darkness. And God commanded it to shine out of darkness. Light came out of darkness. Whatever your trouble is, whatever your darkness is, light can come out of that darkness. So Paul here is referring to the spiritual light. Where else was this said? Anybody know? Where is Paul? Paul is saying this that where it came from in the Old Testament. Anybody know where this was from? Where God commanded light? Creation. Genesis. So let's go there. Genesis chapter 1. And you know what? Before we get there, Pastor Schaller was talking about a book there that he was reading, and it's called End Time Scripture Trends. End Time Scripture Trends. It's filled with a lot of data, a lot of statistics, if you like those things. And I do. I like researching a lot of those things. And it's by Ron Rhodes. It's by Ron Rhodes. But as he was giving some statistics and scenarios, God put on my heart how, you know, the world, there's amazing advancement today in this world. I mean, you can't doubt that. Technology, great advancement. Medical, great advancement. Science, great advancement. Education, great advancement. But all these advancements are advancements from the world. And you got to be careful with them. And we're not saying don't go into education and don't go into science. It's not about that at all. But it's the world wants these to show these accomplishments and to prove these accomplishments. But there's one thing that they can't do. They can't have light come out of darkness in people's lives. And because of that, life deteriorates, so to speak. Look at, you know, as smart as we are, as educated as we are, as advanced as we are, there are more suicides. There are more overdoses. There are all these other illnesses and problems and situations because of darkness. And as advanced as you want to get, you can never deal with the decaying of a life. And this is why he says, I use the foolish things of the world to confound the ones that are trying to be wise in all their knowledge and infinite wisdom that can only be found in Jesus Christ. So Genesis then chapter 1. And let's look at this a little bit this morning. And let's start in verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning. So, and John 1:1-4 says the same thing. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And then it says in verse 2, and same was with God, and that all things were created by Him. And there was nothing that was created that was not created by Him. And then it says in verse 4, that in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Remember that. We're going to come back and hit that. So in the beginning, God. And it's amazing how the Bible starts. Because one of the greatest things that Satan wants to attack and will go after is evolution. Where did you come from? And God is telling you in the beginning what happened. And there's this push today. There's this push in evolution. It's called theistic evolution. It's not something that was new. We learned this from Pastor Toll. This isn't something that was new. This has been around for over 200 years. Theistic evolution. Google it. Read about it. What it is, it's an overlay where, and by the way, you would think that this is being pushed by evolutionists, but this is being pushed by Christians. And what it's doing is it's saying that, yeah, God is God, but he uses evolution. He uses evolution. And that Christians and evolutionists should find a common ground. And that's very dangerous to start thinking that. And I'm going to show you why. This is a very dangerous... Because here it says that God created the heaven and earth. It didn't evolve. God created it. Because if you believe in evolution, or if that's what your trend is, then you cannot believe that God created man. Man evolved. He wasn't created. And in Genesis 1:27 and in Genesis 2:7, it says that God created man. Okay? You guys with me?
Yes.
Okay, so if God then created man, and evolution says no, man evolved, then you also have to believe that there is no sin. Because man sinned. But if you don't believe God created him, then he didn't sin. And if he didn't sin, then there's also no redemptive plan. And there's no need for Jesus Christ at all. So this is how dangerous it is to bring in evolution and God in the same thing. Creation and evolution is far, far apart. It cannot be overlapping, and we cannot accommodate it. And you got to be, the reason why I'm teaching this is because it's going to be shoved down your throat very shortly. And you're going to have to take a stand on it. And it is already. But there's no redemption. There's no Christ. There's no sin. They want God in that equation, but is not as creator, using evolution to bring it through. So in the beginning, and that's important. You know, just on this verse, we can sit and have a rap for a long time that in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. Because here's what you have to do. Number one, the Bible is introducing God. The first thing is God. And Steve used that verse. It was Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because with that, you must believe that God is. To have faith, you must believe that God is, and he is a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. So we must believe that God is. This is the first thing. So in the beginning, God. We must believe God. We must believe in a God. Number two, let's just try to think of a couple here with this. That he created. He did something that man could not do. He created all things. Man can't do that. Man can't create the heaven and earth. Only God can do that. Another one is God here is the main character. This is the Bible in the beginning, God. So the book is about God. He is the subject of everything that's written in this book. Will point to a creator, our God. It points to him. So God created the heaven and the earth. It also must mean that God created before that, or existed before that. God created the universe, God is not dependent upon the universe. The universe is dependent upon God for everything that's in place. The earth, to be just a centimeter off its axis, everything becomes chaos in the heavens. Everything's colliding with everything. God set it up and spoke it. And then in verse 2, it says that, and the earth was without form and void. The earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit was on the face of the waters. Darkness was... Now, I just want to add something here, too. There's this little word in there. It says, and the earth was. This word was is something. Because a lot of scholars are trying to make that word became. The earth became void. And they've got a lot of backing. They've got a lot of scripture with it that makes sense. Because, you know, here's the thing. There's no time frame between verse 1 and 2. We don't know that time frame. But in using the word became, they use that because when Satan was kicked out of heaven with all of his demons and fell to the earth, a third of the angels fell with them. Then they're saying that that is this dark time that they're talking about, the evil that has fallen to the earth. And they use Isaiah 14, and they use Ezekiel 28, and they'll use Luke 10:18, where Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. So the earth, I like the word, the world was. And the reason behind that is because over the next 6 days, Jesus Christ is going to fill and Jesus Christ is going to form. So the world was without form and was void, meaning it was unfinished and unfilled. The earth was unfinished and unfilled at this time. And this is why this here, when God's going to say, let there be light, that's going to be a physical light. But Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, what we just read, is a spiritual light. He's using the same scriptures, but Paul is saying this is a spiritual aspect. And man too, without Christ, is unfinished and unfilled. Man in our condition, in darkness, where 2 Corinthians 4:4, where the God of this world has blinded their minds to truth and has kept people in darkness, they are unfinished and they are unfilled. So man, unregenerated man, walks around the earth looking to be filled and looking to be finished. And they'll take on these accomplishments of the world to get promoted. Without God, to do things without God, to look to be completed. Everybody wants this sense to be completed. Oh, if I only had a woman, then I'm complete. How's that going? No, they are. Yes, right? Women complete men. They do. But that's, I mean, God, we get completed from God. I'm not going where Steve went last time I was here. No. But man is unfinished and unfilled. Unfinished and unfilled. Always looking. And never being satisfied, never being complete, always empty, always will be in that. And they'll spend their entire lives looking to be filled and finished on their own. And it becomes sad. Because that's when you start looking into areas of wicked and deep darkness that the world presents. So in verse 3, God said, and I love that, God said, let there be light. Let there be light. Paul says he commanded it to come out of darkness. He commands it to come out of darkness. Let there be light. And light came through. Darkness cannot come out of light. Only light can come out of darkness. Only light can come out of darkness. And we become a reflection of light. We become a reflection. We're light because of what Christ has done in our lives. But we're a reflection. It's just like the moon, right? The moon is a reflection of the sun. The moon's not its own light. It reflects what the sun is. We reflect what the sun does in us. We're just a reflector of him. So God said, let there be light. And in John 3, 19 through 21, it says that light came to the world, but the world loved darkness rather than light. They loved, and matter of fact, the beginning of that is really neat. He says, this is the condemnation, that light came into the world. Ain't that something? Why is that in there? He says, this is the condemnation, that light came into the world. Which means this is the verdict. This is what it is. This is how it was said. This is the conclusion. Light came into the world, and the world loved darkness more than light. And this word, just this word, loved darkness rather than light, the word more than light. And it's not a little bit. It's not that, hey, I'm pretty close to equally. No, this was basically that they hated light. They hated the light. They hated the light. Because the light is the essence of truth. As truth comes into a person's heart, they hated it. So they remain void. Truth fills the voidance in our lives. The Word of God fills the voidance, the emptiness within our lives. Darkness is still pushing in, but truth comes and fills it. And they loved evil more than light. They discarded truth. They discarded the only thing that could fill them and give them a sense of who they are. They rejected it completely. And they hated light. It's Isaiah 59, right? It says, truth has fallen in the streets. Truth don't belong fallen in the streets. Truth belongs on the hearts of men and women. Truth must be on the inner parts. In Psalm 51. Now let me give you three things here, and we'll wrap this up here today. So think about this. So God commanded light out of darkness. He commanded light out of darkness. Love comes through darkness. The finished work is above darkness. And grace overcomes darkness. Those four things we want in our hearts. So God commanded light to come out of darkness. Think about this. This is so good. Because God uses, you are his representative on this earth. So he's going to use you. If you look at verse 7 in 2 Corinthians 4:4, right? It tells you this method of how God does it. He says, we have this treasure. We have this treasure in our earthen vessels. And remember we talked about the alabaster box a couple weeks ago? That was the box that carried the treasure. The box was just the vessel. The vessel is wonderful. God made it. But it's what's inside. It's the oil inside. It's the anointment inside. It's the light that is inside. And when she broke that, the light came forth. And this is how God touches people in darkness today. Light comes out from us. God commands that light to come out of us to deal with darkness in people's lives. God commanded it as a treasure, as a vessel. And then it says even why. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of man. This is a full total work. This is a finished work of God in people's lives. That life is going to be come forth and touch them. Touch darkness. So the God of this world, who blinds those minds, can be released to the truth. And their emptiness and their void can be finished and can be filled. So number two, love comes through darkness. And this is amazing. It's because God so loved the world that he what?
He gave.
God gives to those that hunger after him. He draws them and then he fills them with his amazing love. Love comes through any part of darkness, any situation of life that you're going through, these dark areas, these dark times, love will penetrate it. Love will penetrate those areas and fill you with God's love. Think about this. God gave his son. His son came to the earth. And the earth rejected him. Because they didn't want light. They wanted evil. They rejected him. Evil, darkness, rejected the light. And ended up putting him on a cross. Darkness put Christ on a cross. Nailed him to a cross. Set him up before everybody to be viewed. Mocked him. Degraded him. Crucified him. And even in that, he said, "Forgive them. They know not what they do." Love came right through that darkness. Love comes through darkness and touches our hearts. Only God's love can be poured out into the heart of a believer in Romans 5:5. The love of God, this amazing love of God, comes through every circumstance of darkness, penetrates our hearts. And then the finished work is above darkness. Because that tells you who you are. You know, evolution. If you look at evolution, you have no identity. You're searching for who you are. And the question is where did I come from? And it's all laid out in Genesis. And the finished work helps promote your identity. Tells you who you are in Christ. Tells you it is finished, that the work is done, that your sins are forgiven. And death has no longer has authority over you, and sin has no longer authority because Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And in doing that, claimed it is finished. So the finished work is above darkness. It's above principalities against, above powers, above wickedness in high places, above rulers, above all your situations and your problems. Only the finished work puts us above darkness. And then grace overcomes darkness. The grace of God, no matter what you're going through, my grace is sufficient. He keeps reminding us. He keeps telling us that I'm sufficient in this. This darkness that is in your life is not going to overwhelm you. I have overcome the world. I will overcome it and I will give you grace to reign. So only God speaks to darkness. Only God can speak to the darkness in our lives. Only God can speak into the darkness of our hearts. But it doesn't stop there. You become saved because God called light out of darkness. And then in your life, he tells you and he gives you your identity. He says, you are the light of the world. Go shine in darkness. Go right into it. Because that darkness cannot touch you. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And when you're light of the world, you will never be consumed by darkness. You might feel it. You might sense it all around, but it's not consuming you. It does not have victory over you because Christ overcame that with his grace. We are made for the light. We're made for the light. You have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are made to let your light shine. You are made to preach the word of God, to bring this message of light into a place of darkness, into a place where people walked in darkness in Isaiah chapter 9. They fellowshipped with the shadow of death even in their lives. Jesus said they sat in darkness. And light comes and says, listen, child, get up. You don't have to sit in this darkness. You don't need to walk in this darkness no more. We have a message for those who are in darkness. We have a message for a world that's in darkness. And it will always reflect his son. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Father. We thank you for the word of God. And because of Jesus Christ, we are now filled and we are finished. We are filled. We don't have to live without form, and we don't have to live void. We don't have to live empty in our lives. Christ fills all in all. All in all, you are filled with all the precious promises of God this day. Let your light shine. Let Christ shine within you. And that happens when you learn that you have died to yourself. And you are alive unto God. And as we are alive unto Christ, that light shines. It comes forth. God commands it to come forth. If there's somebody here, Lord, that doesn't know you, who doesn't know you, who does not know this light of the world, it's just coming to Christ. It's not being religious. It's coming to Jesus Christ. Just, if you want me to pray for you, just lift up your hand today. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourself. You know, the Christian walk is impossible. You can't do it, but Christ can. Christ does it through you. Christ does it through you. Receive Jesus today. Live for Christ. Let your light shine in a world of darkness. Because I don't think the world is getting any lighter. We need Christians who know the book, who know the message, who want to walk by faith, who want to live for God. Stop living for self. Live for Christ. Take a stand. Go on with God. Draw close to him. We thank you, Father, again for this time and the word of God today. Just bless the offering. Bless our fellowship. We pray, Father, for this community in this city who needs Christ so bad. In Jesus' name. Amen.